There's so much in our Christian faith and in our Christian life that requires courage. That requires of us a real courage. I want to tell you just a short story about learning courage. In our family, 4 of the 8 kids have their birthdays within 1 month of each other. So half the kids from the middle of December, December 17th into January 16th, half of us. And I remember one of the times when I was, I think, 4 years old, my brother Sam, whose birthday kicked it all off on December 17th, was turning, I think, 13 years old. But his birthday cake was a gingerbread house, week before Christmas. And whoever made the cake put all 13 candles in the chimney. You see where this is going? And so you lit all the candles, and before we could get finished the song, the whole gingerbread house had started on fire. Like, it started with the chimney, and then the thing just started going. And I'm 4 years old, and I'm seeing this, and you're singing happy birthday, all this joy, you know, da-na-na, and then all of a sudden fear just strikes into me. Now, because my 4 older brothers, each and every last one of them, are savages. They're brute savages. They would chase me around the house, and they would light a candle, or they would come at me with a lighter, and they would chase me around and corner me, and I was bawling my eyes out because they knew I was afraid of fire. Well, moms, thank God, have a heart of gold, and she knew that, you know, going through life like that would be really hard, even just going through those next birthdays that were coming. And so what she did, she took me on her lap. She took out a candle, and of course I clutched her close. She just lit it. And she just held it there. She said, "See, it's okay, it's not going to bite you." And then she just said, "We're going to sit here with it." So we sat there with it. And of course, when you're a little kid, at first you're really still afraid. And then you sit there with it a while. Because the instinct of fear is wanting to flee. It's wanting to run away. But so much of what courage is at its core is not fleeing. It's remaining there. It's sitting there and not running away. I tell you all of this in light of our first reading. We hear in our first reading the great prophet Samuel, but I want to give just a word of background with Samuel. His mother was Hannah, and Hannah was heartbroken for many years, because she had longed and prayed to God continually that she would have a child. But she was barren. She was unable to conceive. And anyone who has gone through this knows the heartbreak of this. But continually and faithfully she would come before the Lord and she would bring this prayer to him. Earlier in the book of Samuel, we hear that she comes to the temple and she's bringing this prayer before the Lord, and she's weeping, laying her heart out. And Eli, who we hear in this reading as well, who is the high priest there, sees her, and she's weeping such that he thinks she's drunk. And so you hear this in the book of Samuel. He comes up to her and he says, "You're only supposed to drink a little bit of wine. You're not supposed to be soaked in it. Why are you coming into the temple drunk? Leave and then come back sober." She says, "I'm not drunk. I'm pouring my heart out before God." The priest Eli blesses her. He says, "May God hear your prayer and may he answer it." In time, Hannah, who is heartbroken, conceives. And she has this son whom she names Samuel, which means heard by God. And this child that she had prayed and waited for years to receive, when he was old enough, she brought him back to the temple and she offered him to God. And that he spent his years growing up then in the temple ministering to God. And what he would do is the whole Catholic Church is a mirror of what the temple was. The temple was just a prefigurement of what we have here, because in the temple, there was the Ark of the Covenant and the presence of God was there. That's where you went to encounter the presence of God. And so Samuel would minister in the temple because Eli's eyes had gotten so bad that he couldn't see the candles that were there in the temple, which told you that the presence of God was there. Here in the church, we have the tabernacle where God's presence is. And you see the sanctuary candles, which tell you when you see them in a church, God's presence is here. Samuel spent his life, all of his young years, growing up, ministering to those flames, ministering to the presence of God. As Christians, we now have the presence of God also within us. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. Samuel, in the reading we have today, all you see is a moment in time. You see a snapshot in which he hears the voice of God speaking to him. But what you don't see is all the many years he had spent in the temple where God had never spoken to him. He was there, he was ministering to him. He was praying to him. But yet we hear in the reading today, God had not yet revealed himself to him. All that Samuel had encountered was the silence of God. All he had encountered was the silence of God until he is spoken to today, and even then learning to discern his voice was something he had to do. The Christian life, specifically the Christian life of prayer, this requires within us an immense courage. Prayer throughout the history of the church has been called the battle of prayer. It's the battle because, first of all, so many of us with silence, we want to run from that. But then especially when we approach God and we come to him in prayer, and it seems as if God is not saying anything, when it seems as if God's not doing anything, when it seems as if prayer is not working, what the instinct within us wants to do is to flee from that, to say, you know what? It's not working. We become discouraged, or we become impatient with God and we want to take things and take matters into our own hand. But what God gives us in silence is something that he is doing within our hearts. He's building within that, and if we have the courage, the strength when he does speak to us, to do then what he's asking. We see just a snapshot today in the first reading. You don't see everything else. In the gospel, you see when the disciples finally see the Messiah. What you don't see is all the years before that where they were seeking him. You don't see that. Last week, ordinary time began, that season of the church. Another season began as well, NFL playoffs. What you see when you watch the games is the amazing plays. What you don't see is all the hours and hours and hours and hours of practice and effort. You only see the highlights of it. The battle of prayer is faithfully, confidently coming before God and not being afraid of silence, but staying there, remaining with him there. The psalm response, I waited for the Lord. Everyone, it's not just the prophets in the Bible that God speaks to. He speaks to you. He speaks to you. Do you have the courage to seek him out in silence and to remain there with him in silence so that when you do hear him, you're able to respond with generosity, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening."